And I'm amazed. Even like last night, Morgan wanted to listen to the Bible as we went to bed, and so put it in, and it's I can't hardly sleep when it's gone because I'm listening, you know. So finally, I think about 2 o'clock in the morning, I finally had to turn it off so I could sleep, you know. But just the things I'm hearing, like, wow, hearing about Jesus. We started the book of John. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. All the way, we got through Acts and traveling through the Bible, different things going on. And it's amazing how alive the Word of God is. But in the book of Job today, I'm gonna read a lot of verses. So, Lord willing, I don't plan on talking very long. But I'm gonna call this a life that shows that God is the Lord, a life that testifies that God is the Lord. You know, many people, especially believers that really know something about the book of Job, they're often really afraid to study it because everybody's afraid because we'll see Job's testimony in a minute that he was a godly man. But bad things sometimes happen to godly people, and people are afraid that I don't want to be like Job. But his life really is a testimony to the reality that God is the Lord. Because what you see in the way that Job handled his life, now, God, of course, is the supreme being and has authority and power, but Lord means he's the master. That means he actually controls everything. He has power over everything. And Job, in the situation that he went through, his life testified that God is not just the one who's in charge, but that God is the Lord. He's the master. And since he's all those things, the circumstances of life had absolutely no bearing on how he would trust him. And to me, it's such an amazing thing. And I hope to read some things to help it be encouragement to you today, as to the fact that God is the Lord. And that what we can, let me just start reading and we'll let God go from here. But in Job chapter 1, in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God says this. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with him. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. So Job offered an offering just in case they're in merriment. They happened to say something against God, you know. And I remember reading this passage and Yodit talking about this. And this passage, because of this passage, I pray for my children every night, almost without fail, that God would have mercy on them and grace on them wherever they're at, whatever they're doing. Just in case, you know, I trust them and I trust they're doing what God would have them do. But just in case, so I pray for God's mercy and grace on them. And I pray the same for the members of the church. And because who knows, you know, Satan tempts us all. And so I ask for God's mercy and grace. It just may be that something may have happened where you may have made a wrong turn against God. But in verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou?" Now, my pastor preached a good message this year ago, and he presented and said, this could be a church service. Because, you know, the Bible says, "Behold, the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And it said right here, "Now there was a day when the sons of God were present to present themselves before the Lord." Because I hope you didn't kind of present yourself before me, right? You came to present yourself before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. Now, if you've been to church, if you've gone to church any number of times, how many people would be honest to know that a lot of things that aren't godly cross your mind when you're in church service? And it's not like you want to think those things. You came here, and you were excited. Hopefully, you thought, you might have thought, "I hope you didn't preach long today." Who knows what you thought? But you're excited to be here, and all of a sudden, something comes to your mind. You're like, "Where in the world did that come from?" And it's like here's Satan, and Satan, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now this is let me just finish reading. There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. I wrote a statement in the Bible, because I love this statement every time I see this, but it says, in this statement, the Lord says two important things about Job. First, he is saying that Job knows who I am. Second, he is saying, I know who Job is. God personally chose Job to reveal the reality that God is the Lord. Because he says, because Satan asked his question in verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now he's saying, Satan is talking to God. He said, now Job, he doesn't really fear you. By the word fear in this context means respect and value you. He's just serving you because you're being good to him. That's why the marriage vows, I don't know if they still say that today, but if I do a marriage, there's in there that is for better or for worse. Because when things are all going smooth, that's not really a demonstration of love. A demonstration of love is when things are terrible. And when something gets worse and somebody hangs in there and by faith believing in God and showing mercy and grace and affection when there's no affection and all types of things, that's where love is shown. Because that's the example. What's the perfect example? God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not wait until the world straightened itself out. God gave the love when the world did not want it, when the world did not appreciate it, and the world didn't want to have anything to do with it. And that's what Satan thinks about Job. Verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine near the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses were feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, my sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose, and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground in worship, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, Job pretty much lost everything. Now, I'm told by studies that when you see the Lord, as we see in this passage here in the Old Testament, capital L-O-R-D, that's referring to also Messiah and Savior. When you see it just as L-O-R-D, it's just his lordship or being God, not necessarily his Savior, and which we understand one and the same, but this is saying, when Job is saying this, he's saying the Lord, the Savior, gave. And if you recognize you have a Savior, I mean, without being too overly redundant, that means that's the one that saved you. That means you had no life without that Savior. And Job recognizes that as tragic as these life circumstances are around him, the embodiment of who he is, he has received life from the Savior. And so the Lord, the Savior, the one that has breathed life into me, given me life, rescued me, made me one of His children, He gave me life, and He gave me these things to enjoy, these vapors, because your life is but a vapor, right? The Bible says that, you know. Those of you that may keep it with baseball, with the tragic news of Roy Halladay, 40 years of age, dying. His life is a vapor, you know, and a plan. You know, I'm 49, and I'm thinking, wow, what a tragic thing. But that was whatever His appointed time is, you know. You know, because honestly, if you love somebody, if you live 150 years, it's the day they go is going to be too soon. And so our life is a vapor. And 150 years compared to eternity is just like that. That's nothing. You know, and how many people are old enough to remember when $100 used to be a lot of money? Now, $100 means absolutely nothing. You know, I remember having $100, like, whoa, man, I can do a lot with this. You know, now if you have a car, put that in your gas tank, and you might be able to get lunch when you're done. I don't know, depending on what size tank you have. You know, but what's going on here? Job has lost everything, and he's looking to the Lord. He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now Satan is not satisfied yet. Because in verse 1 and chapter 2, and again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal and sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." And he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not we receive evil?" And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now, hold your place here. We don't have much longer. You're going to be surprised. Y'all heard me say that before. But in Job chapter 13, I don't fill time here. I just try to do what God tells me to do. But in Job 13, this is the verse that God really put up on my heart that caused me to really think about Job. And as I mentioned, a life that reveals the testimony that God is the Lord. In Job chapter 13, in verse number 15, now by this time he's taken a lot of accusation by what the Bible calls his friends. And Job referred to them later as miserable comforters. And they've accused him, made accusations against him, and said different things. But Job he really professes his confidence in God. And in verse 14 of Job 13, it says, "Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand?" He said, "Why would I take my life in my hand now?" And now he makes this amazing statement about God. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation. For an hypocrite shall not come before him." I was thinking about what Job lost. And I was thinking about this passage that makes it relevant to if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, I think there's probably three, and there's really four here, but there's three main temptations that Satan brings to life of a believer to try to get a believer to lose their integrity and cause them to stop following God. It was number one is possessions. Job lost all his possessions because we read the story. He had houses and lands and camels, all of them lost. Power. He had a multitude of servants. And the Sabaeans fell on some of them. Chaldeans took some more servants away. So Job had power and authority. And then if you want to alliterate, you can say posterity, which means family. And he lost his family. When people begin to lose, I'm talking people that attempt to follow Christ, when people feel like they're losing those three things, that's when all these things that were said about Job, people begin to back up on those things and they begin to lose it. That is the most difficult temptations you ever face as a follower of Jesus Christ. Because if God likes to bless his children, but he likes to bless our children so we can reveal the authority of his name. And the real reality that he is God. Job had all these wonderful possessions, and he had a great family so that the world could see that God is worthy to be trusted beyond how great is going in the earthly sense. And Satan, being the God of this present world, he just assumed that Job thought like the world did. He said, now, and this is Satan talking to God. He says, now, Lord, Job has this great testimony, but the only reason that Job is honoring you because he has a lot of possessions, because he has power, he has a large family or posterity. But if you touch any of those, Job will no longer respect you. Because remember, the word said fear there. And fear in that context is an adoration, a respect. You know, how many people drive, if you drive a vehicle, and you know how to find if you really fear the government or not is if you take your foot off the gas when the police car is out there. Now, if you fear, if you actually fear the law, then you can relax. It doesn't matter whether you see a police car or not because nothing changed. But if you fear consequences when you see a police car, you adjust your life, right? But a really fear of the law means that, you know what? I feel like I'm crawling like a snail. You know, one day I was driving through town, and I thought, this car's in front of me, and I thought, what is that car doing? I look at my speedometer, and I thought, oh, they're doing the speed limit. And I don't really try to drive fast, but it's amazing if you're not paying attention, you got an open road, and you just kind of move along, especially in town. To me, in town is the easiest place to speed if you're not trying to. In the highway, when you get on the highway, you know what you're doing. You know, I mean, all these new cars, we have cruise control. If we don't want to speed, we don't have to, right? So this is not a lesson on speeding, by the way. I'm just using an example. Just between you and God, what you do. But what I'm saying is that your fear of the law is determined by what you do when you're in the car by yourself and nobody's around, and you see what that says. It, you know whether or not you actually fear the laws that are put up there. And Job, and Satan is saying, you know, Job only is serving you because he's got a good set of, because he hadn't had any bad consequences in his life. Now, I've been saved since 1993, and by the grace of God, serving him since then. And the three main things that pull people away from a relationship with God is, and notice I didn't say church. And I think church is essential, but a lot of people go to church and don't have a relationship with God. God wants to have a relationship with God, and then we naturally want to be around people that have the same father, right? Amen. You know, like, you know, my son is staying in my brother's home right now, and I kind of envy him because I would like to be around my brother. We have the same father. I love my brother, and I love being with you. I love being with children of God because we have the same father. Amen. It's a blessing. But through the years, if a person's possessions get touched, they back up on a relationship with God. That trust factor begins to waver. If their family gets touched, they kind of back up on the relationship with God. And they pull away from God, maybe relationship with Him. And if their power gets trusted, you know what? Because you know what? I'm from the United States originally, and Canada kind of has some of the same philosophy as far as liberty is concerned. You know, I'm all for liberty. Liberty is, the Bible actually says we're called into liberty. But liberty is to be used for God's glory. It's not for our personal consumption, so to speak. Because the world is doing a lot of things against each other because of the liberties that we have. You know, I'm amazed at the number of times when I'm going through I was walking with Morgan just last week. Here's a mother. She's got a baby in a stroller. And and she's plowing along, and the walk-like turn, and she just plows right through, never looks around. You know, I'm thinking, well, she's got the liberty to do that. Yes, the law is on her side, but you know what? She could still die in the crosswalk because of her not really appreciating the liberty that she has. You know, I tell Morgan, I say, you have to look when you go because that liberty gives you the right to die. And that's all your liberty means. You have the liberty to make bad choices. But God wants us to make good, godly choices, you know. But what I'm saying is this liberty sometimes we have, we're looking for what it can do for us. And so I'm free to be a blessing to this entire world. That's what God wants for me. And here's Satan here. He thinks, again, that Job is just like anybody else. He said, if you touch Job's possessions, you touch his family, you touch his power, you touch his liberty, then he'll no longer fear you. In fact, he'll go so far as he'll curse you. In fact, he'll even curse you to your face. And I know some professing believers that have actually gone that far. But again, the message is a life that shows that God is the Lord. Now, Job went through all this. And now, the fourth thing is, but I think the three of the main ones, and once he got his person was touched, his health was touched. You know, that's another tendency. When a person's health is touched, I've seen people pull away from God, or they can draw closer to God. All of these you can respond to God, but Satan used them as temptations to pull your life away from the great opportunity to demonstrate that God is the Lord. Because think about this. Now, again, God is supreme being. But if he's... When we talked about the Apostle Paul last week, what did he testify when he got saved? He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, if God really is my Lord, that doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You know, because I trust him. It's like when I was in the military, when I was leading a platoon and we're going through basic training. I was a 19-year-old kid. I was leading a platoon, had guys 25 and 33. And I remember a guy in his early 30s crying, said, the drill sergeant hates me. He's going to kill me. You know? I said, man, look, the drill sergeant's not going to kill you. He's trying to prepare you for war. He's trying to make you mentally tough, you know. And you know what I was telling him? Though he slay me, I trust him. And trust him, my drill sergeant put his share of work on me. And especially when I went to active duty basic training, they found out I'd been to West Point, been to military academy, and they figured I thought I was hot stuff. And they tried their best to break me. They brought me in one day and said, hey, Mr. West Point, you think you're something? How about you drop and give me about 50? And then just every time they saw me, my platoon sergeant, he would walk out of formation. He wouldn't look around. He said, drop, Harper, and wipe that smile off your face, son. Determined to break me, you know. But I trusted him because I knew what he was trying to do. And I'm not advocating war or anything goes like that. But the drill sergeant, if he actually hurt me, he would be in trouble. He wasn't there. He was there to break my will, so I would trust him. And God doesn't work the same as a drill sergeant, but he does allow circumstances in life to reveal to a world that God really can be trusted. Because here's Job went through one of the greatest trials that I could ever imagine, and his testimony is, though he slay me, He said, this is how well I know God. If it were in God's will to slay me, he would still be my Lord. He would still be my master, and I would still trust him. He said, I will maintain mine own ways before him. He said, it's about me and God. You know, so much of religion. You know what religion does to a lot of people? It makes us compare ourselves among ourselves. I was thinking the other day how much of indoctrination has been about comparing against other religious groups instead of just trying to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking of how much preaching I've listened to that actually, you can't hardly hear a message sometimes that does not compare to another denominational group or to some other belief system. And it seems like that people have so little faith in Christ that they just can't point to Jesus. Or point to God alone. And the reason that is because we can justify ourselves more readily. But Job, his great testimony is, I will maintain my own ways before him. He said, you know what? You may not understand my life circumstances I'm going through. And you may not even think that my God is worthy of serving based on the way my life is going right now. But Job said, this is how much I trust God as my Lord. If God would have personally come and slay me, I would trust him. Now, notice that, this is a personal relationship with God. This is not, I would not advise doing this for any religious leader or anything like that. You should never have that loyalty to any individual. But you should know the God. By the Bible says that God is love, by the way. And since God is love, I mean, as I trust him, now he gave me life. Since he gave me life, then God knows in from the beginning. He knows how many number of days he wants me to live anyway. So, and he knows how he wants me to live. And guess what? He wants my life to be used so that other people can receive life like he gave me life. And so if I need to go through some difficult circumstances in my life to reveal that God really is the Lord and not just that power, possessions, and my family and my good health is the Lord, then that's what I need to go through. Because it's funny, in the world, thank God for Remembrance Day. We just had it, Remember the Soldier. Isn't it amazing how many people come out to wore poppies? I normally have one myself. And I realize, again, I'm not a war advocate, because I realize now the day in which you live, and who knows what you're fighting for, you know. But there are people, there was a time and a generation of people that literally laid their lives down for the sake of other people. And that's what we honor on Remembrance Day. People willing to lay their life down so that somebody else could be free, so that somebody else could be safe, so that somebody else could have another day to live. You know, there are police officers out there. Last night, though, the world, though, depending on where you stand, some are against police officers, but many of them, they put their life on the line so that somebody could live another day today. And they go into life in this situation, and not every one of them represents the bad properly. Just not every person that calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ represents Christ properly. It's just a fact the way we live. But we exalt those type of things. But yet, here's Job basically living the life of a soldier. He laid down, he willingly let go of his possessions. He let go of his position, his power, and then even his posterity for the sake of others. And because for the sake of one, number one, his Lord, but his life gives a great testimony that, wow, God really can be trusted. So his life, so it's the difficult situation in life to reveal that God is the Lord. Because, if you watch the news, like I said, if you're in a great mood today, go watch the news for a little bit and see if your attitude changes. That's by design of Satan, by the way, because he wants to keep us discouraged. But if you do watch the news, then remember you've got some good news. And I watch it occasionally just for this, because I think, you know what, if Christ could get to that person, they wouldn't have stabbed that person last night. If that person knew my Father, they wouldn't have shot that person last night. If that person knew Jesus and actually walked with him and realize how much God so loved the world, they wouldn't have abused that person. They wouldn't have taken that power and used it for their advantage. They would use it to advance someone else instead of take advantage of someone. This is why the world needs to know the Lord. Because, see, the world has no concept of what love really is. I say much about the home. This is why a marriage is meant to demonstrate that, because God knows that two imperfect people are getting together. He knows they're going to struggle sometimes. He knows that someone's going to be selfish sometimes. And someone has to be love in action. Someone has to show charity. Someone has to love when someone is unlovely, because that's the love of God. And someone can find hope in that situation. People can realize, wow, that's what it's like to love. Because anybody can love somebody that's being good to them. Hey, if you came every Sunday and I dropped $1,000 on you, hey, you'd be like, hey, man, this is a church. This is the place to be, you know. But when you have to say some hard things sometimes, you know what? We really are not here for ourselves. We really are here for others. we're really here to the life that God has given us. It's to esteem the life of others more than ourselves. That's what it says in Philippians. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Remember how I said that? That doesn't mean treat other better than themselves, because you can do that and you'll get bitter. But when you actually esteem or value someone better than yourself, that's that you just treat them better because you esteem them better. Like I told you years ago, what caused me to come to Christ was realizing that when I'm reading all these verses in the Bible, how to love my wife like Christ loved the church, and I just didn't want to do it. And I'm thinking, and I believe God, I believe the Bible, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to do these things. I'm trying to think no evil. I'm trying to be patient. I'm trying to be kind, and I'm just getting. When's she going to start appreciating me for all this I'm doing? But then finally, I realized through that I wasn't born again. I'm thinking, God, you gave me life through the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, and you want me to, and you're only asking me to give my life for my wife like you gave Jesus for me. Why is it so difficult for me? And God was like, but it's just because you don't know me. You know, and God knows my heart, and I sincerely esteem Susan better than me. And so I'm able to serve her and do things for her because I esteem her better than me. And God did that, because I'm telling you the truth. When I first came across what they said, I did not want to do it. I'm not a naturally kind or gracious person. God did that change in me. I am a self, naturally without Christ, I am a is egomaniac. that would probably be an accurate word for me, because when I played sports in high school, it was all about being seen. When I was in college, it was all about being seen. I always wanted people to see me, know me, and to be the big man on campus, and I, everything revolved around me. But God said, no, it's got to revolve around Him. And so God has allowed my life to be placed into a variety of circumstances so that I can't be glorified. And I thank God for that. Because now I can say, no, you know what? I have to be honest. I laughed a lot of those times when I thought I was the man. And those times when people praised me through sports and academics and all the different things. And it, as much as I enjoyed that at that time in my life, there was still a part of me that knew how shallow it was. I can still remember being a young man, and I think I was at the Military Academy West Point at this time, thinking, okay, so I'm going to finish school, and I'm going to basically get a job, and I'm going to work and pay bills and buy stuff. That's all, just one thing, okay? Is that all there is to life, to work and pay bills and buy stuff? And I remember thinking, man, I mean, I was under the stress of the academy, taking 21 credit hours, and which is mandatory, and all the military duties. I remember sitting on the park bench one time, I was just crying, Lord, for what? I went through high school, and I worked hard at academics and athletics, and all I'm looking to do with life is to get a job, make money, and pay bills and buy stuff. Is that all there is? I remember weeping like a little baby sitting on the bench and said, God, surely there's got to be more. And thank God there is. His name is Jesus. Amen. I still remember the day I met Him, and thank God for that. Now I have an eternal home to look forward to with God. And now this life is about how can I invest to introduce people to the Father that saved my life. And not just saved my life, but gave me life. Because it's amazing to have all that. And it's funny, I see it all over and over again. To have people would have killed, using this figuratively, to have upbringing as far as the academics and athletics, the experiences that I had growing up. People think, man, that was so great, but it was so shallow. It was just so empty. And people are still looking for a life of glory and recognition and exaltation. And you see it on the news all the time. This actor committed suicide. This public official committed suicide. This public official took advantage of someone in their position. They will have that power, and they have to use it to take advantage of someone. It's sad, you know, and it's because the world doesn't know what love is, because God is love. The world has tried for years to write books on love, and people in marriages have tried to imitate love, but you can't do it without God. And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. Because God wants you to be so good, He says, to make sure you succeed, when you give your life to me, He said, in fact, I'll give you a comforter, and that'll never leave you. He said, I'm going to come inside you with the person of myself, He says, the person of the Holy Spirit, to guide you and to teach you and to lead you how to love and to be like the God who is love. And that is revealed. You know, and God worked the life of Job so the world could see that, you know what? You know what? It's not about stuff after all. Because Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, the world needs some followers of Jesus Christ to live for him. You know, if we live for him, we take on his vision. We take on the same vision of God. God so loved the world that he gave. We exist to give. You know, I'm in Canada because I gave my life. You know, I'm not looking. I've had two people contact me this week trying to get me to send an application to other churches. But I said, I don't want a ministry position. I gave my life. I gave my life. This is not a job to me. God gave my life. I mean, and like I said, I remember beating our arch rivals in basketball, and the whole entire stands flooded. We made this miraculous comeback, and about a small gym, about 400 people jumping and cheering up, grabbing me, and I'm thinking, I remember feeling so alone because I recognized I, as a young person, how shallow that victory was. I mean, I received one of two congressional nominations in the state of Texas to go to military academy. And I'm thinking, what for? God bless me with a beautiful wife and a beautiful daughter. We're on the way. And was ready to leave my wife and contemplating suicide. And I had so much, but without life itself. Because, you know, you think about this. Lord, you understand I'm saying this. And this is an amazing. You know, if you go to a cemetery, it's surrounded by beautiful decorations. And if you've ever been to one that's well taken care of, I mean, beautiful flowers, beautiful headstones. Beautiful lawn care. But it's all that labor, Indian resources, for a place where there is no life. And that's what this world is finally experiencing. The reason the world is so, coming so unhinged. There's power to do this. There's power to go. There's technology to do this. There's money. There's resources to go, to do. Experience almost anything under the sun we want to experience. But the world is realizing that all these things, as beautiful as they are, as fun as they are, as nice as they are, as glorious as they appear to be, as well taken care of everything is, there's no life. That's why the world needs the Savior. And if you're a follower of Christ today, may God help you and I to be a life that testifies that God is the Lord. So they can see through me and they can see through you that I'm not just living for stuff and things. That there really is a God who is love that can help and deliver anybody and give life to the person in the darkest circumstance or situation you could ever possibly imagine. That's what we see in Job. Job really is a message of hope. Because if you, for years I've just heard people believe it's over. Man, I don't want to be like Job, but Job is saying that in the midst of your darkest hour, there is a God that you can trust in. There is a God that is a deliverer. There is a God that's worthy to be believed upon. And our world is getting darker than you ever could possibly imagine. But I'm here to tell you, in the midst of all the bad news, I've got some good news for you. His name is Jesus, and He's the Savior. I remember when I first started preaching, working in the turkey plant, and working on the line there, and sometimes when I'm preaching on the streets in Parkdale, I'll just raise my Bible, and I said, "Hey, I've got some good news for you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And I'm saved the same today. I don't know if you were not born again today. Today would be a good day to give your life to Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, paid the price for your sins. And He wants you to know this God that's so worthy to be trusted. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. So the only way you can meet God, you have to have an introduction. And that's through His Son, by faith in Jesus Christ. That is how you get introduced to God. John 14:6, the Bible says, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the way. You know, as you go to the way, then all of a sudden you realize that, wow. That's why religion has really harmed a lot of people, because it just brings people in too quick. And they learn about a lot of Bible information about stuff, and because they know more Bible information than somebody else, they get arrogant and proud. But you know what? You know what the greatest thing I've known since I've been born again? Him. Just God Himself, amen. And I still don't know enough about Him. I still know enough about His Word. He's so good, I can't even think enough things to tell you any given Sunday, any given time. But oh, my soul, I pray you get to know Him. Because then when you go testify to somebody, it won't be about trying to remember what the Bible says. You'll just tell them about the God that you know. And man, and He's worthy to be told about. And I hope you don't go. I'm not wishing on anybody any life circumstances like Job went through. But I would have to say this: I would not be surprised if somebody in this room right now is in a dark valley, and you're just wondering what to do. And I'm here to tell you, Job found hope in a dark valley, and he said, "It's the Lord." And God wants you to know that Lord, and you can experience Him today through trust, having faith in Jesus Christ. So no matter how dark you think your valley is, God is able to deliver you. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Word of God today. I thank You for the precious people that have assembled together today for Thy name's sake. God, only You know what You like to do in the hearts of Your people. I pray that somehow they've seen a picture of You and Your greatness and Your glory and Your just how worthy You are to be trusted in any situation. And God, please, if someone here is without Christ today, would You give them the faith to just rest their life by faith into the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that He's the Savior, believing He will redeem them and give them life. For any of Your children that have already been born again, I pray, Lord, that when if it does happen in their lives, that their possessions are touched, their power is touched, their family or posterity is touched, or even God touches a person, their health, would You, Father, give them the grace to have the testimony of Job? Though he slay me, yet will I trust Him. And maybe someone's here today that it's one of Your children, and maybe they're none of those things have been touched at all, but there's just an emptiness in their soul because they know they've not been in fellowship with You like they need to. Would You touch their heart and allow them to realize that You're not condemning them. You're calling them. You're calling them to come closer. You're calling them to draw nearer. You're calling them to experience You and to know You personally and to have a trust in You like Job did, that would be above any and all circumstances that his life has to offer. Job was the Father, we see in the life of Job, he was successful in two ways. He was not only successful in the difficult times, but he succeeded in what a lot of North American Christians fail in. He succeeded even when he was prosperous. He kept his integrity when he had wealth, when he had blessings, when he had things without measure.
Oh God, have mercy upon us today. Thank you for being the perfect, wonderful Savior that you are. Lord, you know every single person you brought in this room today. You told me that you numbered the hairs on their head. So, Father, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you touch every life, every heart in this room, and accomplish your perfect will in bringing them to this service today. Because, Lord, you said, I don't know how to pray as I ought, and I believe you. So since I don't know how to pray, please, Father, measure out your will and strength and help to every single person in this room. Save the lost, strengthen your children, do what's needed for your name's sake.